Hello and welcome to Fort McMurray Matters. I'm your host, Ryan McNally. We have a couple of guests here on the show today. Andrea Sandmeyer, the president of the Otipiswak Métis government, will be joining the show to talk about three topics. The Alberta Court of Appeals decision earlier this month on the Alberta government's duty to negotiate with the Métis government, as well as Federal Bill C-53. Being adopted by the Standing Committee on Indigenous and Northern Affairs, as well as Bill C-92 and the progress with that bill. We also hear from Member of Parliament for Fort McMurray Cold Lake, Layla Goodridge, who is issuing comments regarding the recent comments from Stephen Guilbeault, the Environment Minister for the Government of Canada, that the federal government will no longer be chipping in on large road projects. And whatever that may mean, we'll hear more from Layla Goodridge later on in the show. Joining me on the phone here today is Andrea Sandmeyer. She's the president of the Otipiswak Métis government. Andrea, how are you doing here today?
I'm very well. Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day to you as well, Andrea. Thank you so much. I wanted to get your thoughts on a couple of different topics here today. First things first, though, what are your thoughts on the Alberta Court of Appeals decision earlier this month regarding the Alberta government's duty to negotiate with the Otipiswak Métis government?
Well, you know, this decision is, you know, doesn't make us all that happy, but we are looking to move it forward with, taking leave to their Supreme Court. So we will be doing that. We have, had our ups and downs with the Alberta government, but we look forward to getting back to the table with Alberta on this issue and other issues as well.
So that answers question two, that you will be appealing this decision. So what goes into that process?
Well, I'm not a lawyer, but we have our legal team working on that right now. So we will be taking it to applying to take it to the Supreme Court of Canada.
So how does this decision impact your government's operations?
It, as far as our operations go, it does not impact our operations at all. What it does impact is, our rights and the duty to consult.
And I understand there's some precedence with this case dating back to Daniels versus Canada in 2016. I'm wondering if you wanted to talk about that at all.
Well, the Daniels case in 2016 went to the highest court, and it recognized that governments have a duty to negotiate with the Métis. So the decision by the Alberta Court of Appeal means we need to keep fighting for that.
Is it kind of discouraging that 8 years later it's a similar fight with the Alberta government?
It is discouraging, but we're positive that we can move forward with some reconciliation with Alberta.
5 years of negotiations, that's a long time just to walk away from the table with no real path forward. What's your ask of the Alberta government?
To turn a page and come to the table to discuss these important issues and Métis rights in Alberta.
Is it a little concerning, Andrea, that the Alberta government is not negotiating or even really consulting with the Métis government that represents over 65,000 people?
It is concerning, and like the Daniels case decision, they do have a duty to consult. If the Supreme Court said that in 2016 in Daniels versus Canada.
So aside from the appeal to the Supreme Court, what are the next steps for the Métis government?
Well, we are, very pleased that C-53 has been adopted by the INAN committee and will be going for third reading shortly. We're very thankful to the hundreds of Métis citizens who took the time to submit written briefs, attend in person, and watch the committee hearings online and all the support that they gave to us.
Yeah, switching gears on that note, the Standing Committee on Indigenous and Northern Affairs adopted Bill C-53. What does that really mean for the bill?
Well, now the bill moves through the process of going to third reading. Once it's passed at third reading, then it will go on to the Senate. And they have a process at the Senate as well. Once it passes through the Senate, then it will have royal assent.
So how encouraging is it for your government for that to be the case?
Well, we're one step closer to realizing the dreams of our Métis ancestors and achieving self-determination for Métis here in Alberta.
And what are some important things to remember with Bill C-53, particularly when it comes to treaty rights?
So the legislation, Bill C-53, is about our governance structure. It is about the Métis Nation of Alberta, about our governance structure, our election process, and of course about our children.
And how will Bill C-53 benefit Métis people in the long run here?
Well, you know, we have had lots of ups and downs throughout the years with, you know, the in 1982 with the Constitution and then the Pauley case and Daniel's case. And this bill is set into law that we, you know, we are a recognized government. We've known for a very long time that we are a government, and this just solidifies that.
So maybe talk about the process Bill C-53 has had to go through to even just get to this point.
Well, the bill was co-developed with the Métis Nation of Alberta, Métis Nation of Saskatchewan, and Métis Nation of Ontario, and it was introduced into the House last June, and then the I-9 committee started their process in October, and now here we are, the middle of February, and a couple weeks ago it moved through the I-9 committee, and like I said, now goes on to third reading. The process itself has been, you know, it has been very difficult for the citizens because, of course, they've been very engaged, and it's, you know, there has been some, you know, hurtful comments. But again, you know, we're resilient people, so we, you know, we're moving on.
Would you like to address any of those hurtful comments made about this bill?
No, I don't think at this time that's not necessary.
So what are your government's next steps with this bill? Are you just kind of hanging tight and watching this process in Ottawa?
Well, you know, we never really hang tight. We're always, you know, doing the work that we need to do and looking at, you know, meeting with senators and, you know, moving forward, meeting with MPs to talk about the bill before it goes to the third reading for the final vote in the House.
Anything else you'd like to add on Bill C-53?
I'm happy that we've moved on to this stage, and I look forward to the day that it gets royal assent and the day we will celebrate.
Stick around. We'll have more from Andrea Sandmeyer after the break on Fort McMurray Matters. Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. We have more from our conversation with Andrea Sandmeyer coming up. Switching gears a bit here, what's your response to the Supreme Court of Canada's decision on Bill C-92?
We are elated. You know, this C-92 in the Supreme Court's decision, you know, affirms that we have a right to take care of our own kids and our youth, and we're very happy about that. We, you know, are already here in Alberta working on a model of care and our children's authority. So we're going through that process, and we're very excited to continue that process. You know, we're looking forward to offering our families distinctions-based programming, and we're very much looking forward to reclaiming our children.
Yeah, maybe just describe a little bit about what Bill C-92 is for people who may not know.
Well, C-92 is an act respecting First Nation, Inuit, and Métis children, youth, and families. So it, you know, again, gives us jurisdiction in relation to children and family services. including legislative authority in relation to those services and authority to administer and enforce laws made under legislative authority. So we here with the Métis Nation of Alberta, we have a C92 advisory committee made up of some wonderful humans that have worked in children and family services for many years, and of course our director and her team here at the Métis Nation of Alberta. So they are working on that model of care right now and our authority and our law around children and family services.
This might be the easiest question to ask you during this interview, Andrea. Do you feel this is a step in the right direction?
Definitely. The Supreme Court, with their unanimous decision in upholding C-92, is reconciliation in action.
I understand this bill has some extra meaning for you. What does this bill mean for you personally?
Well, I was actually, when I was vice president under our old governance structure in Region 2, which is Cold Lake, Bonnyville, St. Paul, Lloydminster, I actually sat on that C-92 committee. So it does mean a lot to me that we will be able to reclaim our children and protect our children and youth.
Are there any barriers or challenges you anticipate encountering during the implementation process? And if so, how do you plan to address them?
Well, I think now with the Supreme Court ruling, I don't foresee that we will have any roadblocks. It firmly, the Supreme Court ruling firmly states that C-92 is affirming that it's our inherent right.
And how does your government plan to advocate for adequate funding, either provincially or federally, to support the implementation of Bill C-92 with culturally appropriate services?
So part of C-92 and the process with Canada is to negotiate with Canada and Alberta in a tripartite table, I think that's what you would call it. So, all three governments would sit down and work out that.
And looking ahead, what are the key priorities in relation to Bill C-92, and how do you plan to advance those priorities for your government?
Well, our priorities right now are have just the team is just finishing up a What We Heard report, because they did go out last spring and summer to community and talk to citizens who have either been in care or have been foster parents or have worked for family services, and we're wrapping that up, and then they will be going out again, I believe this spring, summer, to talk to citizens again, because we do believe, in engaging our citizens on everything that we do. So they will take a look at our model of care, and we'll just continue working towards our own authority. That process does take a bit, because we have to make sure that we have everything in order before we flip the switch.
Awesome, Andrea. Anything else you'd like to add on Bill C-92 today?
I just want to say again that I applaud the current federal government in advancing the act with the Métis Nation and other Indigenous people, and that the decision confirms that this type of collaboration with us is the way forward in advancing reconciliation.
Well, Andrea, thank you so much here for your time here today and chatting about three separate things that, involve the Otipsiwak Métis government.
You're very welcome.
When we come back to Fort McMurray Matters, we'll hear from the Member of Parliament for Fort McMurray Cold Lake, Layla Goodridge, next on the show. Yeah. And welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. I'm your host, Ryan McNally. Joining me on the phone here today is Layla Goodridge. She is the Member of Parliament for Fort McMurray Cold Lake. Layla, how are you doing here today?
I'm doing well, but I'm a bit nervous about the newest announcement that's just come out from our eco-activist environment minister, Stephen Guibeau.
I was going to ask you about that announcement, Layla, and also, had you on the phone here earlier this week, so You know, definitely didn't think it'd be such a short turnaround to get you back on Fort McMurray Matters here. But, you know, had to ask about this announcement that Stephen Guilbeault will stop investing in new road infrastructure.
It's extreme and divisive. I am shocked that this is what this government has decided to do. But unfortunately, I'm not surprised. This is an eco-activist. This is an absolute eco-activist minister who, before he was elected, climbed onto the roof of Alberta's Premier Ralph Klein's house and scared the living daylights out of his wife to make a point. He also scaled the CN Tower where he got arrested. I think a bunch of people are familiar with his orange jumpsuit as a result of that. He also got arrested at one point for chaining himself up to a coker on his way up to the Fort McMurray region. And this is so far down this eco-activist agenda and absolutely needs to stop. We need roads to get people and goods around this country. And it's so completely out of touch with rural Canada and Canadians in general.
And, you know, I've, you know, heard the quote that Stephen Guilbeault would like people to drive more electric vehicles, but don't they need roads to drive on?
Yeah, the last time I checked, EVs actually do require roads. It's kind of funny, and this goes right in the face of some of the priorities that have been advocated in our region, including the recent announcement from the provincial government on working on Highway 686 to go west from Fort McMurray towards the Peace region. And these are pieces that are going to improve safety, improve economic viability, and are just in general absolutely required. And it just shows how completely out of touch and out of tune this government is.
He's since pulled back his remarks, apparently, saying that they won't put up cash for large road projects. How do you define that?
Well, I think this is exactly the bait and switch that they're trying to do. He said the quiet part out loud, and frankly, this is precisely why we can't trust the Liberal NDP coalition to continue governing our country, because if given power and given another 4 years, this is exactly what they would do.
The have-not provinces require the most help with road infrastructure, yet they're also less likely to afford EVs. Does this have the potential to actually prolong the use of gas vehicles and SUVs?
Well, I just think it is a ridiculous policy that was clearly just cocked up by people that would rather everyone ride their bikes or horseback to work, and doesn't take into account the hundreds of thousands of Canadians that need to drive to get to school, that need to drive to go to work, that need to drive to go to the hospital, that need to drive to do all kinds of things. And the fact that we still need vehicles in to bring food to Fort McMurray, like, I don't understand how, and they haven't defined what large is. This is insane on so many levels, it's hard to start picking a lane. Although they want us to just not, I guess, have any lanes.
So what will your party do in the face of this legislation?
Well, it's clear we need roads to get people and goods around, and luckily for now, this is, as far as I'm aware, not a legislation. This was just a policy. And we're going to continue calling out the hypocrisy of this government and calling them out on their eco-activist agenda.
And in your mind, I guess, what would your party do differently?
Well, it's very clear that we cannot continue letting this NDP Liberal government continue to push forward radical ideas. We need to be working to, we've laid out a very clear track of build the homes, stop the crime, fix the budget, and this is something that this government seems to create crime and chaos everywhere they go and make life more difficult for Canadians, and we need to help Canadians get things back on track.
I'm also seeing the quote here from Alberta Premier Danielle Smith, who obviously a frequent critic of Stephen Guilbeault, also saying most of us can't just head out the door and walk in the snow and rain 10 kilometers to work each day. What are your thoughts on that comment?
Well, and I think it just, it goes and it speaks to the fact that many Canadians, many people throughout Fort McMurray Cold Lake don't have the luxury of being able to walk to work. They don't have the luxury of being able to walk to the grocery store. They don't have the luxury because the infrastructure doesn't exist. And even if it did exist, I'm sorry, in minus 50 when we had the polar vortex, even if the grocery store was pretty close, I don't think most people would choose to walk to the grocery store in those conditions. And so this completely ignores the reality of Canada.
If you had 30 seconds to share a message directly to Stephen Guilbeault, what would you say?
Resign.
Simply put?
Simply put. End the extreme and divisive policies and resign.
All righty. Layla Goodridge, the Member of Parliament for Fort McMurray Cold Lake. Anything else you'd like to add here today?
No, and thanks for your time.
Well, thank you again so much for making time for us today here on Fort McMurray Matters.
All right. Talk to you later.
That was our show for today. A big thank you to both Layla Goodridge and to Andrea Sandmeyer for joining the show for today. We have another busy show scheduled for tomorrow, so I hope you can join us for that. Thanks for listening to Fort McMurray Matters. I'm your host, Ryan McNabb.